are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host, with you once again on this Monday edition. It is a rapid react edition, as it is on Mondays throughout the season, when there's a game on Sunday, that is. 49ers getting their first victory of the season, beating the Detroit Lions at Levi's Stadium 30-27. Getting out of there with the skin of their teeth and pulling out that victory. So I'm going to go over what I saw there. I was at Levi's Stadium from my end zone view. Have not had a chance to go through the game and watch any tape of the game and watch the replay of it yet. So we're going to hear from the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. We're going to hear from really the defensive leader now for the 49ers in Richard Sherman. And we're going to hear from the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, as well as I'm going to give out some game balls and some thoughts about the game. And I'm going to talk a little bit about somebody who may or may not be on the trade market. And by this time tomorrow, by the time you're listening to this podcast on Monday, Josh Gordon might have already changed uniforms, and who knows, maybe he would be a San Francisco 49er. So I'm going to get into that in segment number three. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. If they're not a 49ers fan, tell them about their team's podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Get some of those mailbag questions in for tomorrow's Winky Tuesday, Tinky Tuesday, what are we calling it now? Anyway, Nick Winkler is going to be my guest. We'll hit the mailbag on Tuesday's podcast. And by the way, thanks to everybody who invited Nick and I to their tailgates. It was fun meeting up with some people. Didn't get to all of them, but had a great time. Hit Empire Row, went to the 49ers Web Zone tailgate, met up with Mr. Chris Wilson, who's a writer at LockedOn49ers.com and also a guest, I'm sure, as you know, on the podcast. It was nice to meet up with him face-to-face and hang out and talk Niners before that football game. And it was a beautiful day in Santa Clara and had a lot of fun there. So shout out to everybody that I interacted with pre and post game. Not much post game because I had to get the heck out of there. I thought the 49ers were going to send that thing into overtime and really screw me for getting back into the city and getting to work. But everything worked out timing wise and had a great time and had a good time. Good perspective from that end zone angle watching the 49ers beat the Lions on Sunday. But I am beat now, man. It was a long day. It's going to be a little bit different format here on the show today. I wasn't like sitting down in the zone taking notes on the game like I would normally be on a Sunday getting ready for this Rapid React podcast. So a slightly different show here today on this Monday episode. So on that note, let's hear from Coach Shanahan and how he felt about his first win of 2018.
You know, I haven't been a head coach for very long, and it took me a while last year to get a win. So I wish it was last week, but I'm very happy that it at least came this week. That was a tough wait last year, and I do think that that's something that gets the monkey off everyone's back a little bit. Not me in particular, just the whole organization, the whole team. I was real happy for the guys there. I thought our defense played their butts off there. I thought our special teams made some huge plays. You know, DJ Reed, just the skill he had and the will he was trying to do everything he could to get in the end zone there, allowed us to score, I think, the next play or play later. And then I thought we ran the heck out of the ball. So struggled a little bit in the pass game. That's receivers, tight ends, backs, quarterback, myself. But I was really happy that we found a way to win, especially when we didn't play as good as we could have there at the end, that we still didn't get discouraged and our defense got us off the field at the end.
Yeah, with all the expectations for the 49ers coming into 2018, you kind of forget that they went 0-9 to start last year. So winning week two is kind of probably a nice feeling for Kyle Shanahan, at least, you know, and for the team to sort of get some momentum here. And it's still a tough early season schedule for the 49ers, a red hot Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes next week. But the 49ers will get Reuben Foster back. So that I'm really interested to see how the 49ers look in week three at Kansas City, which is always a tough place to play. And it's great to get Reuben Foster back. I like the way that Elijah Lee, though, stepped up after some early missed tackles in this game. And that was one of the areas that I was really worried about the 49ers getting attacked. And Fred Warner was doing Fred Warner things. He's looking like a rock-solid middle linebacker, making plays all over the field. Tartt missed the tackle early, then got hurt at the very end of the game. But most of the middle of the game, Tart was really good. Elijah Lee missed a bunch of tackles early, but he really tightened up and ended up with 10-plus tackles. And so I like the way he came through, even got a sack. So, you know, thumbs up to Elijah Lee for stepping up. Richard Sherman, rock solid on one side. It was really tough on the opposite side for Akella Witherspoon, and that's the way it's going to be, man. And Richard Sherman is what we – well, actually, let's go to Richard Sherman. I think he tells it best. What do you think, Richard? You still the same old guy? Are you still that shutdown corner?
I'm always at that level. You know, I think at the end of the day, nobody doesn't – you know what I mean? If people think I'm not at that level, then they're just not watching tape. You know, I think it's more rumors, it's more he say, people that aren't watching tape saying, hey, he had an Achilles, you know, he's falling off, or he gave up 48% instead of 47, you know, he's falling off. If you look at my numbers, I've led the league in every category since I got in it.
What sort of pride do you have then?
I got a ton of pride. I go out there every day, and I don't want anybody to catch a ball. I don't care, regardless of what I'm coming from or what injury I'm coming back from. I let you guys write those stories. I don't play like that. I play every play like it's my last, and I play to keep my man from catching ball.
One thing is clear, new Richard Sherman is a lot like old Richard Sherman, near identical. So still being avoided by opposing offenses, still one of the smartest defensive players in the league. I've been really impressed with Richard Sherman, his play on the field, and I think he's got a big role off the field as well, and he's going to help the guys on the other side that are just going to be getting bombarded. If teams aren't throwing at Richard Sherman, they're going to be throwing the other side. So Akella Witherspoon is going to continue to see a bunch of throws his way. Jimmy Ward came in, didn't fare a lot better, and whoever's on the opposite side of Sherman is going to get targeted a lot in 2018. You know, I talked about with quarterbacks on previous episodes about how learning curves and development curves aren't linear. It's the same for any position, and Akella Witherspoon, I fully expect him to bounce back and have a much better game, and it's just, you know, he's seen a lot of live bullets. And he's going to develop, and he's going to learn from some of these things. And I think he's going to be a very good player on the other side, so I don't think that's anything to worry about, even though he had a target on his back against the Lions. All right, I want to touch on another theme that Richard Sherman mentioned post-game, and Jimmy Garoppolo corroborated later on post-game. But before we get to that stuff and give out some game balls and talk about potentially Josh Gordon donning the scarlet and gold, I've got to tell you guys about MyBookie. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you do, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, great reviews online, their mobile site, super easy to use. That's why I'm urging you guys to make your way to MyBookie. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie right now is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they will give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today, and don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We heard from Richard Sherman a minute ago, and so someone who's that pumped up and so amped to play the game of football, he's got to be pretty excited about this win, right?
A win's a win, but it feels like a loss. To me, you know, we played like crap down the stretch on defense. You know, offense, they gave us 30 points. You know, it was 30-13 going into fourth. We got to execute down the stretch. Stafford's a good quarterback. They're a good team, but we got to execute down the stretch, and we got to play better. I think it's a good learning lesson for a young team that we need it. You know, it's a humbling lesson. Thank goodness we got the win out of it, but it's a lot of good tape, a lot of good learning from this. I think it's going to be a humbling experience for a lot of our players.
One huge thing that is clear with the 49ers right now is that not only did they not take 9 weeks to get their 10 weeks to get their first win of the season, they expect to win every week of the season. And it's a completely new mindset. And Jimmy Garoppolo completely agreed with Richard Sherman about that.
Sherman has a great mindset, and it's a good thing. I was just talking to some of the guys, you know, it's a different mindset than last year. You know, last year, if we got a win, we were happy with it. And now it's you know, you kind of progress as a team. And I think our guys are growing and learning like that. And so, you know, when you have a chance like we had to, you know, blow them out and, you know, take advantage of that stuff, we didn't. So, you know, it's just little things like that we need to clean up.
I love that expectation, and I think that's important for a good football team. They're not just okay to go have some crappy win. They want to, and look, every win is big in the NFL, but and they're not easy, and things change so fast week to week. But the 49ers aren't satisfied with just getting a win. They want to play better, and this team is still a work in progress. I think that's pretty obvious right now, but I love that mindset, and it's throughout the building, which is one of the most important things I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have done since showing up in 2017 and started running this franchise. Staying with Jimmy Garoppolo, one thing that was absolutely clear in this game is he was holding onto the ball quite a bit longer. So, Jimmy, what gives with that?
I got to get the ball out faster, though. You know, help those guys out, make it easy, get our offense into more of a rhythm, and just, you know, take what they're giving me type of thing. So, you know, I thought the offensive line played great today. You know, Mike stepping up like he did. He didn't practice all week, and then he comes out and had a hell of a game for us. So, you know, it's those guys up front are battling, and I got to help them out.
So if it felt that way, and Jimmy Garoppolo acknowledges it there post-game with those comments, this is from Josh Dubow on Twitter. The average time before Garoppolo's sacks on Sunday were 6.522 seconds. That was per sack. So he's holding on the ball 6.5 seconds, which is an eternity for a quarterback to sit there with the ball in the pocket. In his previous six games for the 49ers, Garoppolo's average time before getting sacked was 4.11 seconds. That is a massive almost 2.5 seconds there longer that he was holding on to the ball on Sunday before he was getting sacked. So a lot of people are calling him coverage sacks, and I think that's part of it. Jimmy Garoppolo's not going to throw his receivers under the bus saying they're not getting open for him or anything like that. And we heard from Kyle Shanahan earlier about how he was disappointed with the passing game on offense, and I think that's part of it. There wasn't a lot of guys getting open, and maybe Jimmy tried to force some things in there, especially on that pick six that luckily got called back, which was just a massive play. So things to improve on, things to continue to work on, and that also brings me to what I'm going to talk about in segment three. Do the 49ers need to swing for the fences and maybe try to add that matchup nightmare, that monster of a wide receiver outside to really help this offense hum? And we're going to hear from Kyle Shanahan again at the end of the show about that very topic. But before we get to that, I got to start giving out some game balls here. Game ball number one, I'm going to go away from the 49ers and Lions game. I'm going to give a game ball to a guy who's very close to a lot of 49ers fans' hearts, a fun guy to root for in his time with the 49ers. Congratulations. Game ball to Frank Gore, who became the fourth leading rusher in NFL history Sunday, passing up Curtis Martin, who now slides to the fifth spot. Frank Gore now only behind Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, and Barry Sanders in NFL history for rushing yardage. So congrats to a great one in Frank Gore. Moving on to the 49ers-Lions game. Of course, we heard from him earlier, shut down cornerback Richard Sherman. I want to give him a game ball because, I mean, that's so impactful. When you see a game, and I was watching it live, and I was just blown away. They were not going to throw the ball at Richard Sherman. He was getting the same all-pro treatment he's gotten his entire career since he made a name for himself in Seattle, and he's that lockdown guy. The offense, and you could see it the whole week long, they're like, well, let's scheme up everything for the opposite side of the field of Richard Sherman. And I didn't know if he was going to get back to that level, so that's impressive. He talked about it earlier, people counting him out. I was one of those. I was not sure. Richard Sherman wasn't that fast to begin with, coming off two Achilles injuries, and he's the dude. He's still the dude back there. So Richard Sherman gets a game ball, shut down cornerback Richard Sherman, and still some work to do on the opposite side, but man, that's the way it's been in Seattle for Richard Sherman his entire career. Who's ever on the other side is going to have to be opportunistic, and when they go to you all day long, you got to make them pay. So start seeing some 49ers, Akello Witherspoon in particular, maybe pulling down some interceptions and making teams pay for testing him down in and down out. My next game ball goes to Matt Breida. 138 yards rushing, ripped off a 66-yard touchdown, which was really the play of the game. It's funny because Alfred Morris still out-touched him, and Kyle Shanahan talked about it after the game. He said, Alfred Morris is the guy. You have a lead. He's the one that runs through arm tackles. So it's still going to be a timeshare back there. I think a lot of people might see those numbers and see the big day he had with those a couple of big runs, but I still think it's going to be pretty much a timeshare. But I think you saw early how they used Matt Breida. You go Breida early, try to get some big plays, reel some big plays off. You need some tough yardage. You go to Alfred Morris. You're protecting a lead. You go to Alfred Morris. And I think that might be sort of the share of things here for the 49ers going forward. He got targeted four times in the passing game as well. So not afraid to really put a big load on Matt Breida in this game, and it paid off. And really that big 66-yard touchdown was the backbreaker for the 49ers, putting a big lead up that they almost couldn't hold on to. And I don't know if I should give, you know, and I'm going to give another game ball to Pierre Garçon, because if you're going to give one to Matt Breida for reeling off a 66-yard run, you've got to give a game ball to Pierre Garçon for not only his four catches for 57 yards, and again, which is par for the course for Pierre Garçon, you get targeted four times, you get four catches. You get targeted eight times, he gives you eight catches. And Pierre Garçon, catching balls through traffic, man, he's just one of the most efficient receivers as far as pulling down targets. And he brings a toughness, he brings a little bit of an attitude, and you saw that on that long Matt Breida run. I went back and watched the play a couple times. I wanted to make sure I got it right. Pierre Garçon made contact with that DB. Who was it? Number 24. I can't remember his name now. He made first contact with him at the 40-yard line and then ran like hell, because that guy's pretty fast and Matt Breida is pretty fast, and he wanted to stay in front and keep blocking that guy. And he worked all the way down the field, pushed that dude from the 40-yard line all the way into the end zone. He deserves 40 yards of that 66-yard touchdown run from Matt Breida just about. And I thought it was hilarious, because when I kept watching it back, Breida is like trying to outrun him, trying to get to the corner. And then he sort of slows down at about the 20-yard line and then just like, what am I doing? I'm just going to cruise here behind my escort here. I'm just going to cruise behind Pierre Garçon. He's got this guy under control. And then he's kind of cruises in, then cuts back inside and scores the touchdown. So that play was awesome. Awesome to see Pierre Garçon working his butt off to get down the field and block for his running back, and seeing Matt Breida and seeing just how well that entire play was blocked, because Pierre Garçon is not the only guy that made a great block on that play. Kyle Juszczyk, an awesome block, kicking out, it was a linebacker or a safety coming down into the hole. Garrett Celek kicking out the edge guy to create some space for Matt Breida in there through the crease, and then Mike McGlinchey getting out on the second level, getting a linebacker. Everybody did their job on that play. It was beautifully orchestrated run, and I think that's one of those plays Kyle Shanahan's going to go back and look at the film and be like, yes, this is what it's supposed to look like. Breida does his job, hits the hole, makes a couple moves in space, and of course Pierre Garçon helps him finish it off, take it all the way into the end zone. So those are my game balls. 49ers getting their first win of the season. It was a team effort, but at the same time, you can really see how this team can be so much better. A lot of things still to clean up for the 49ers. And it's going to be a work in progress this season, and a really tough one coming up next week in Kansas City. And now on to the big water cooler subject of the day, and Josh Gordon. When it comes to Josh Gordon and potentially being a 49er, the number one thing that always jumped out to me is Kyle Shanahan knows Josh Gordon. He coached the guy in 2014 in his lone season as the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. That just so happened to be the first year that Josh Gordon was hit with one of those long suspensions. It was a season-long suspension, got reduced down to 10 games, so he did end up making an appearance for the Browns that year. He played five games and then got suspended by the team for the 17th week of the season. So he, instead of having six games, he played five games that year for the Cleveland Browns. And there was a really good timeline of events that was written by Melissa Jacobs at thefootballgirl.com. And it starts out, and I just want to focus on the 1 year of Josh Gordon's timeline that he was with the Cleveland Browns in 2014 with Kyle Shanahan. So it starts out in May 2014, and Josh Gordon, you know, his troubles go back to college. Outside the Lines reports in May 2014 that Gordon will be suspended for the entire 2014 season for another failed drug test. In August, the league confirms that Gordon will indeed be suspended for the season after his appeal was unsuccessful. Move forward to July 2014. Gordon is arrested. Separate incident. Gordon is arrested and charged with DWI after driving while impaired in Raleigh, North Carolina. To September 19th, 2014. Gordon's suspension for his failed drug test is cut to 10 games due to the NFL's new drug policy, which states a ban doesn't come until the fifth failed test. Gordon's latest was his fourth failed test. So, on to the 2014 season. This is all off-season stuff. Gordon is immediately inserted into the starting lineup in Week 11 and returns to his old ways with 8 catches for 120 yards, but he is largely irrelevant in the 4 games that follow, only topping 50 yards once. So that was it. That was his run with Kyle Shanahan's one really big game in Week 11 as he comes back, and then some so-so 4 games there before Week 17. And that brings us to December 27th, 2014. Gordon is suspended by the Browns for their Week 17 game after violating team rules. Gordon, along with Johnny Manziel, missed the team's walkthrough on the Saturday before the game. So then after that final game of the season, Kyle Shanahan would resign as offensive coordinator of the Browns. And now it's known that it was because Johnny Manziel was forced upon Kyle Shanahan. He didn't want to play. He wanted to play Hoyer. He didn't want to be forced to play Johnny Manziel, and he was. And yeah, he wasn't feeling it with Mike Pettine, and so he quits. And he's no longer the offensive coordinator of the Browns. So he did get 5 games with Josh Gordon on the field. And I knew he had some time, and you can see by the stats, and you knew that was the year that he got suspended. But when you see all those different things and seeing him get in trouble multiple times, even after he got suspended the first time from before Kyle Shanahan was even a coach with the Browns, you could see how a coach would be very frustrated. And after I looked at that timeline, I was thinking, man, you know, if you put yourself in Kyle Shanahan's shoes, I could really see why Kyle Shanahan would say a flat no and not want any part of that Josh Gordon stuff. But then after Sunday's football game, he was asked about Josh Gordon, and this was his answer.
I love our whole team and the guys that we have. I always feel, you know, since camp ended and we've got our 53, I mean, we can win with the people we have, but anytime a player is available, which I don't know if he is or not, I don't know what's happened today. So if he isn't, I'm not allowed to comment. But my same answer for always, we will look into every situation to always try to upgrade our team, no matter what the case is. But to answer your question, am I happy with what we have? Of course I am.
So that was the biggest hurdle to me for Josh Gordon ever being a member of the 49ers, is if Kyle Shanahan signed off on it. And obviously that to me sounds like Kyle Shanahan is okay with it. And he obviously knows Josh Gordon's talent because he had him all off season long and had him in workouts and had him in preseason stuff. And then he was suspended for the season, then got him back for the regular season, had one really big game for Kyle Shanahan. So he knows Josh Gordon's talent. And so I'm sure that's obvious to him. And so he must like the person enough, and he must care enough about the person that he would want to bring him in despite all of his problems and his laundry list of suspensions and you know, his drug issues is what it is. An addiction is a hell of a thing, and that's tough. I can't, you know, it's hard to put yourself in the shoes of an addict and what Josh Gordon is going through. And so Kyle Shanahan thinks highly enough of Josh Gordon that it sounds like he signed off on it. And then multiple sources have also confirmed that John Lynch has contacted the Browns about Josh Gordon, and he's made that call, you know, and who knows how long that conversation went, how deep those talks went. But we do know that John Lynch has contacted Browns GM John Dorsey about Josh Gordon. And then we heard reports on Sunday that Josh Gordon is interested in joining either the 49ers or the Dallas Cowboys. So a lot of smoke here with Josh Gordon and possibly the 49ers, and actually more smoke than I thought we were going to hear about this thing. So is it a possibility? God, I think it is a possibility. Could it help the 49ers if Josh Gordon has his head on straight and is able to stick to whatever program he's on to keep himself sober and to keep himself on the field? He is an absurd talent. He's in a generational type talent. I mean, there's always, you say generational talent, and there's too many generational talents, so it's not actually that. He's a freak. He's a freak of nature. So he could absolutely be a mismatch problem for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. He could be one of those guys that can really push the defense down the field and be a big play weapon. And when you see a game like Sunday where the 49ers struggled to get open, you start to think, man, Josh Gordon could be somebody who could really help the 49ers now and into the future. But nobody knows mentally where Josh Gordon is at. The fact that the Browns, after all of this, after sticking with him through all the laundry list of things. By the way, Josh Gordon, I went to that 2014 timeline. Josh Gordon has played in 6 football games since then. He's played in 11 football games since his monster 1,600-yard season in 2013. By the way, he was suspended 2 games that year, so that 1,600 yards came in only 14 games in 2013. He still hasn't played a lot of games since then. It's mind-blowing the career that Josh Gordon has had. But the 49ers are, at the very least, interested in Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is reportedly, at the very least, interested in the 49ers. I don't know if Josh Gordon has any say over where he's going to go in this whole thing. But it seems like at least a possibility now. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a probability at this point. But the Browns are moving on. He's going to go somewhere. And the 49ers could definitely be one of those teams. And if Josh Gordon is anywhere near what we've seen him be in scattered pieces even beyond the 2013 season, he could really help the 49ers from a talent perspective. But I think the number one thing over all of it when it comes to Josh Gordon is he needs to be in a good place mentally just for himself as a human being. And so I hope the 49ers do have something in place there to help him out. But one thing is clear is that Kyle Shanahan knows all too well who Josh Gordon is. And I think that says a lot if he's willing, through all of his problems, to bring him in. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with Nick Winkler. Little Tinky Winky Tuesday. Of course, Locked On Crossover Wednesdays will be happening. We'll be talking Locked On Chiefs on Wednesday's show. We've got Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus as well coming up later in the week. And it's going to be a big week. Getting ready for Kansas City now. 49ers are 1-1. All right, talk to you guys next time right here on Locked On 49ers.